It strikes me that one of the things about Advent is that there is a focus on what is important, what is of deepest meaning. Advent is about the promises of God. And I think these 4 weeks can really be a great gift to us. They can be a time of watching, discerning, seeing what God is doing, of waiting for God to enter in to our lives, into our world. And this is definitely a season to live by hope, the hope that God will transform us and will transform the world. Each year on the second and third Sundays of Advent, we are given John the Baptist as a central figure. John is a singular character. He appears just like one of the great prophets of old. He lives out in the wilderness. He wears camel's hair. He eats locusts and wild honey. He is living literally at the margins of the world, away from the center of power and politics of empire. And yet, even in that desolate location, we're told that people flock to him in great numbers. They come from all around. I can't help but wonder why they come to him, and I suspect it's because they are hungry. They are searching for something. They are looking for deeper meaning in their lives, maybe a better way to live. When they arrive at John's barren location, the crowds hear him proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." John preaches that longed-for Messiah is coming. His arrival's at hand, so get ready. And John calls the people to prepare by stripping away what is not important, by focusing on the things that matter most, by setting their lives in order. And the way John invites people to do this is through metanoia. I know I've mentioned this before, but I'll remind you, or maybe you don't know, that metanoia is a Greek word, and often Greek words have much richer meaning than their English translation. In this case, that's true. English, we say repentance. But in Greek, it's far broader. Metanoia is turning in a new direction. It's reorienting oneself. It can also mean putting on a new mindset, embracing a new way of thinking. So metanoia is a deep call to change and to transformation. It's the call to turn toward God and turn away from everything that distances us from following Jesus. Metanoia is about letting go of whatever it is that keeps us away from God. Anything that gets in the way of our relationship with God. Things like an undue focus on material goods. Any desires or practices, habits or mindsets, even thoughts or ideas, which draw us away from God. The repentance John calls for is not so much about moral worthiness and purity, as much is it about God's desire to transform us. This repentance is a call to allow God to realign us and our lives so that we live according to Jesus' way of love. And so repentance is not about feeling guilty, but about our deep need and God's deep desire to change us, to transform us into the very image of Christ. Jesus comes to baptize with the Holy Spirit, to claim us as his own forever. And through baptism, we are buried with Christ, and we, the promise is, will be raised in a resurrection like his. Now, I don't know how it strikes you this morning to be called to repent. It might be difficult to hear this. It might be challenging to know how to act on it. And I think certainly it can be difficult to understand God's call to us in the midst of daily life. And I wonder if this might even be especially true in December, with all the activities, with all that is happening, all that is before us. And so I think there's significance that John the Baptist is out in the wilderness and invites us to go with him. The wilderness is away from all the noise, the bustle. It's a desolate landscape, and in those desolate landscapes, externals are stripped away. We can assess where we are. We can be confronted with our own vulnerability, and we can come to see in a profound way our deep need for God. In Scripture, the wilderness is very significant. As you know, the people of Israel wrestle with God for 40 years as they journey through the wilderness. As they wander on their way to the promised land led by God, they worry, they have fear. Maybe God's not trustworthy. Maybe God's brought them into the wilderness to die. They know nostalgia. Remember Egypt. We had cucumbers and leeks and melons and all that good food. They forget they were slaves there. Also in the wilderness, they sin, they rebel, they test God. But they also ultimately come to learn to trust, to obey God. And it is in the wilderness where God gathers them and forms them into God's people. Advent calls us to a similar journey out into the wilderness, away from the demands and distractions of the world, to that place where we can acknowledge our own resistance to what God desires to do in and through us. The wilderness is the place to remember God's promise to be with us always, to sustain us, to lead us into the fullness of God's promises. Now, no doubt about it, the wilderness can be a terrifying place. Stripping away externals leaves us exposed. We can feel anxiety. The call to repent can bring up feelings of guilt, of unworthiness from our past. Perhaps we are uncomfortable with God's judgment. Maybe we wonder if we can really expect God's mercy rather than God's wrath. Certainly, some of us grew up in religious traditions that use the threat of judgment in harmful ways. I know in my own childhood, I was taught that sin is a violation of God's rules, and each time I sinned, my soul was tainted. And if I kept going, my soul would turn black and I would go to hell. Confession was the only way to wipe clean my soul. But as a queer child, I had another problem. I knew without it being said, my identity was being judged. I, as a person, was unworthy because of who I am. There was for me no escaping the judgment of church and scripture. I don't think John the Baptist is proclaiming that kind of judgment. I don't think Jesus comes with that kind of judgment to condemn the world. Jesus comes to love the world. Jesus judges us with eyes of love and compassion. Jesus desires to gather all people to himself in loving relationship. So I think sin is less about violating divine rules that must be followed and more about any action, any thought that inhibits our relationship with God, with the creation, with one another, and even with ourselves. Sin is the danger of putting ourselves at the center of our lives, replacing God. Sin is about alienation, estrangement. Sin is whatever holds us back from becoming the full creatures that God intends. Sin is living by apathy and complacency instead of creativity and abundance. Sin is rejecting relationship with God. It is the way of death, not of life. Austin Farrer was a 20th century priest in the Church of England. He was also an educator, philosopher, biblical scholar, eloquent preacher. And he wrote a book called The Crown of the Year. And he says this, and I quote, "Our judge meets us at every step of our way with forgiveness on his lips and succor in his hands. He offers us those things while there is yet time." Unquote. He is assuring us that the Messiah's judgment is that of love, of compassion, of mercy. It's about stripping away what is not important, about everything that prevents our deep communion with God, just as that chaff is burned away in the fire. Jesus seeks to burn away all impurities so that we can bear good fruit, so that we are ready for the divine life of God. And Jesus will do whatever is necessary to bring us to that abundant, full life that God prepares for us. Austin Farrer then also asserts that what judges us and what redeems us is the very same thing. It is the love of God. He writes, and I quote, "Advent brings Christmas, judgment runs out into mercy. For the God who saves us and the God who judges us is one God. What judges us is what redeems us, the love of God. What is it that will break our hearts on Judgment Day? Is it not the vision suddenly unrolled of how God has loved the friends we have neglected? Of how God has loved us and we have not loved God in return? How when we came before God's altar, he gave us himself, and we gave him half penitences or resolutions too weak to commit our wills. But while love thus judges us by being what it is, the same love redeems us by effecting what it does. Love shares flesh and blood with us in the present world, that the eyes which look us through at last may find in us a better substance than our vanity. Advent is a coming, not our coming to God, but God to us. We cannot come to God because God is beyond our reach, but God can come to us, for we are not beneath God's mercy." Unquote. The Messiah is entering in. The reign of God is close at hand. Jesus comes to purify us so we are a fit dwelling for God. Advent's call, then, is to create space, to have time in silence, to withdraw from the frenzy and activity so that we can assess our lives, we can listen for God, we can repent of how we stray from God, and allow God to transform us, to draw us closer to the loving heart of God. The promise of Advent is that God is at work even now transforming us and the world, entering into each moment of our lives. Are we open to seeing God at work? Are we ready to receive God's daily visitation? Will we allow God to change and transform us in the people God creates and calls us to be? Come, Lord Jesus, enter in and make all things new. Amen.